a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. I want to welcome everyone to the meeting this morning, and it got quiet before I hit the gavel. I was getting nervous. I want to welcome all the people also that are listening to us on the Internet. I'd remind everyone to please silence your telephones or your cell phones. It's just out of courtesy to the people that are in the audience and those that are listening to us on the Internet and to the members here as we're trying to go through our testimony today. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Krebs.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Monroe.
Here.
Amdahl.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
A quorum.
We have a quorum. The chair would entertain a motion on the previous meeting's minutes.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Otten, seconded by Senator Amdahl. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved as written. We have a couple pages here. If you'll just step up to the microphone here and tell us who you are and what you're going to do with the rest of your life after you leave us here.
Hi, I'm Jordan Hansen from Watertown, and I'm going to USD to major in medical biology.
Oh, cool. Go ahead.
I'm Jay Schomek, also from Watertown. I'm going to the University of Minnesota Carlson School of Business for business finance.
Are you related to some other Schoenbecks from up in that neck of the woods?
Yeah, Lee Schoenbeck's my dad.
All right. Welcome to the Senate Transportation Committee. I'm going to remind people, if you're going to testify today, to please sign in at the podium there by the door so the Secretary can make sure we get your name spelled correctly. Remind the pages here that if there are handouts, please pass them out around the back of the podium here. And also give your handouts to the pages. You don't need to be handing them out. And with that, I think we'll open it up on the first bill. The first bill we have on the docket today is Senate Bill 58. I saw somebody approach, and then they backed away. I got worried here. Senate Bill 58. Welcome, Ms. Hilmer, and please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I think Bill Nevin thought he was going to get to go first. That's why he stuck his head in the door and then backed back out. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to bring Senate Bill 58 to the committee. It's a very, very simple bill. So I think this could be a record for us. We could get this passed out and on the consent calendar. currently, today, if you look at the law, the law requires that you have a sticker for the harvest permits. And harvest permits are issued for those people that are coming into the state doing custom harvesting. And really, all we're wanting to do is change from a sticker process that we currently do today to an actual online permit that an applicant could actually obtain electronically online, either through our SD CAR system or through the South Dakota online permitting app process. We worked with the Highway Patrol to come up with the acceptable document for them, because currently right now they do the sticker process, and they have been very supportive of us moving into the electronic age with the permits. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but basically it's not changing anything in the law. It's only going from a permit to or from a sticker system to a decal system or permit system that we would issue those permits electronically. So be happy to answer any questions at the appropriate time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other proponents of this legislation? Other proponents? Last call for proponents. Any opponents of this? Any opponents? Last call for opponents. At this time, we'll open up to questions by the committee. Anyone have any questions? Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for Deb. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning.
Just wanted to find out that if they don't have the online availability, then what's their option?
Mr. Chairman, That's a good question, Senator Krebs. They can go to the county courthouse in any county, and then they can establish their account, and the county treasurer could issue the permit as well. So there's really three different options they could do. Either the online, go through our online system under SD Cars, go through the South Dakota app system, through the patrol, or go through their county treasurer office.
Other questions? Is this just for out-of-state, or is this both in-state, out-of-state?
It's really for anybody, Mr. Chairman, it's really for anybody that's doing the custom harvesting that's really not properly, maybe properly licensed. Most of our custom harvesters now that travel the nation doing that type of work are licensed under the IRP, under the International Registration Plan, so they're apportioned for the jurisdictions based on the miles they're traveling. But this is really for those people coming in from out of state that maybe don't have the commercial licensing, and then they would obtain these permits. So,
My second question is it any problem not having the sticker so you can see it, or you have to carry it in the glove box of the vehicle, or how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, these will just be displayed in the front window of the vehicle, and that's, you know, we worked it out with the Highway Patrol to make it so that it's readable. Actually, it's probably better than the small little decal process, because it would be displayed in the window as a permit. So,
okay.
I have a question.
Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When you mentioned that about the commercial plates, wouldn't most of them have commercial plates? Do you have kind of a breakdown of the number that have commercial versus the ones that do not?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Lucas, we really don't, because I could tell you about how many of the permits that we've issued or sold, and it's really, if you look at the amount of traffic and stuff, it's not that many permits. We only sell probably between 3,000 and 4,000 permits a year, so it's really not that much, but the decals are actually very expensive. We probably spend right around $3,000 a year just to have those permits commercially made and stuff. So this will save us some money. I hope I answered your question.
I guess most of these harvesters coming through are going to have commercial plates, so then they don't have to buy the sticker or permit then.
That is my understanding. That is correct. I asked my enforcement friend.
All right. Any further questions? If not, we'll close with the public testimony and move it to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
I move due pass on Senate Bill 58.
Been moved by Senator Monroe, seconded by Senator Lucas for due pass motion. Comments on that motion, Mr. Monroe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just think it's a good bill. It's going to save the state some money and make it a lot easier.
All right. Any other questions? Any other comments? No further comments. We'll go to voting, and the secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Krebs.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Senate Bill 58 has passed the Senate Transportation Committee. It'll go to the floor. Senator Otten. It's been moved by Senator Otten to put it on consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator, is it Amdahl? Those in favor of putting on consent say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Goes to the consent calendar. All right. Next bill we have on the docket is House Bill 1037. Welcome, Bill. And identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. I'm Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. We bring you House Bill 1037 today, Mr. Chairman. As you, as well as anybody know from your service on the Rules Review Committee, The Transportation Commission has rulemaking authority to establish limited speed zones on state trunk highways and other highways under the jurisdiction of a state or federal agency if that agency requests. The state trunk highway system, of course, is defined in SDCL Chapter 31-4 as designated by the legislature. In addition to the state trunk system, there are numerous segments of highway under DOT jurisdiction that are not included in the designated state trunk highway system. For example, we have 31.068 miles of non-state trunk highway segments and 110.60 miles of frontage service roads that are under state jurisdiction. And as you can see from that handout, we've designated in green these segments that we're referring to here. The majority of these exist as the result of realignment of highways over the years. They're often old primary routes that now function as service roads following construction of the interstate system, or they result from realigned segments of the primary system. For the most part, they really serve a local road function rather than a state highway function, but DOT remains the owner and responsible for them unless or until they're ultimately abandoned or taken over by a unit of local government. And as this committee well knows, the counties aren't exactly lining up to take over additional miles of roadway. Some examples of the what roads we're talking about. A good example is what we call State Maintenance Route 231 in Blackhawk. In connection with the reconstruction, or the construction actually, of moving the interchange at Blackhawk to exit 52 on I-90, we also needed to realign some of the local roads to fit into the new interchange construction. One of those is State Maintenance Route 231, and that's the road that goes across the interchange, providing egress and access, or allowing both westbound and eastbound traffic to get on or off the interchange at that section. State Highway Maintenance Route 231, it's called. Highway 14P, as you can see in the inset on your maps, is part of an old alignment of U.S. Highway 14 connecting U.S. Highway 83 near Oneida. The other inset shows you another example, and that is the service road on either side of U.S. Highway 14 through Huron. This gap in the law, if you will, came to our attention regarding State Maintenance Route 231. In cooperation with local officials, we wanted to set a limited speed zone on that new crossroad, but were advised that the statutory rulemaking authority didn't extend to segments that were not part of the statutorily designated trunk system in Chapter 31-4. Since these segments are owned by and under DOT jurisdiction, however, there is no other governmental body that can establish a limited speed zone on them. In South Dakota, as you folks probably know, the statutory maximum speed on a non-divided highway that is not a township road is 65 miles an hour, unless a lower speed limit is prescribed by a statute or by the highway authority with jurisdiction to establish speed limits. Many of these segments are currently posted for a speed limit as safety demands. In some cases, the speed limit that existed when the segment became orphaned, if you will, was simply left in place. In other cases, a limited speed zone was put in place with the belief at that time that the authority to do so existed. However, the enforceability of some of those limits could now be put in question. Although an enforcement issue has not arisen that I'm aware of, the situation does need to be fixed. Moreover, the Transportation Commission is not authorized to establish a limited speed zone on any such highway segment that might be created in the future as a result of new construction or realignment changes. And there most certainly will be such segments in the future, as the situation we now have at Interstate 90 Exit 52 interchange evidences. The state will continue to have ownership and jurisdiction of highway segments that are not part of the state highway trunk system designated in statute, and we need to maintain those unless and until local government units agree to take over ownership of those segments. That's not likely to happen in the near future. Obviously, highway safety may very well depend upon establishing a speed limit less than 65 miles an hour due to topography, growth and development, traffic levels, activities on the adjacent land, road geometrics, or any of several other traffic engineering decisions. So passage of this bill would extend the Transportation Commission's authority, rulemaking authority, to establish a limited speed zone on any highway segment that was under the jurisdiction of the Department of Transportation. Those limited speed zones are, of course, in the interests of public safety. We respectfully request your favorable consideration of House Bill 1037. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Mr. Nevin. I think what we'll do is see if there's any other proponents or if there are any opponents, and then we'll come back to questions. Other proponents? Other proponents? Last call for proponents. We'll go to opponents. Any opponents? Last call for opponents. All right, we'll come back, and are there questions by the committee? Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, Mr. Nevin, will there be costs then for the DOT to put up the signs in these areas? I assume there's not any posted signs in there right now.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
Senator Lucas, there are posted signs in these locations now. So there would only be a cost if that speed limit were to change.
Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm actually curious about a lot of things. Is this going to... I need to have my mind settled that this isn't going to end up like a case in Minnesota where you're driving on a highway and you don't know if the speed limit is 55, 65, 60, 50, 45, or whatever in a span of 5 miles of highway, and it could change that to all those within that span. The other thing is, I'm wondering if this would pertain to a situation like when I ride to Sturgis every year, there's this curve that's to the west of Sturgis. It's just a curve that goes around and goes over a bridge and then into town. I know it's a 55-mile-an-hour slope curve from back in the day, but the speed limit there is, I think, like 65. If somebody's going to go flying off that corner, will this take care of that? They're going to do that someday. I just know it. And then the other thing, like probably me, and then let's go ahead and then I'll think of that other one. I'd like to know if it's going to do the stop, go, basically. Slow down, speed up, and don't know what your limit is, so you don't know if you're going to get a ticket.
Mr. Chairman,
please proceed.
Senator Monroe, I don't believe that's going to be the case. As a result of this legislation, I don't see DOT doing anything any differently than it normally does in establishing limited speed zones. That is typically, well, not typically, but oftentimes there's a traffic study, there's consultation with local folks, examination of road design criteria, all those things go into it. Passage of this bill isn't going to change how we approach establishing speed limits on state roads.
Follow up?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. My question is, we have roads that are under the jurisdiction and maintenance of the state that are not on the state trunk system. Can you kind of go through how that works? I thought, because I've had a road that I've been wanting to put on the state trunk system or have the state get it back into shape in my district. So this gives me that opportunity to say, how do we maintain these roads and be responsible for them, and they never got put on the trunk?
Mr. Chairman, many, if not most of them, were originally part of the state trunk highway system. And so that's how we got jurisdiction and originally established speed limits on them. However, as I indicated, over the years, because of reconstruction, realignment, they're no longer part of the state trunk highway system as designated in the statute, yet they remain under our jurisdiction and ownership until and unless a local government unit agrees to take it over. I'm hoping that answered your question. I'm not certain.
So we put in a new road, and that new road is on the state trunk system, but the other road becomes an auxiliary road, and you have not given it over to another jurisdiction, or they have not had an interest in it, but you still maintain it because it is an important roadway, and since you've got it, you maintain it, but you don't have it on the trunk system. So the what would be the difference in owning a road on and off the state trunk system? What would be its different? Does it get less maintenance? What's the difference?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain I'm the one that can answer that question as to whether there's different maintenance levels on them. Obviously, if they're under the jurisdiction of the department, there are certain maintenance activities that we're required to perform and do perform, obviously. But I'm not sure if they receive a reduced level of maintenance or not.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions for Mr. Nevin? No further questions. We'll close it to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Pass.
Senator Lucas has moved to pass. Did I hear a second down here? Seconded by Senator Monroe. Comments on that motion, Mr. Lucas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it was explained quite well with the issue of safety. And since we do own the highways, we should be able to post the speed limits on those stretches.
Further comments? No further comments by the committee. Well, the motion has been moved and seconded. And the secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
House Bill 1037 has received a unanimous vote of the members of the Transportation Committee, and we'll move to the floor on the... Senator Otten.
Put it on consent.
Senator Otten has moved to put it on the consent. Is there a second? And it's seconded by Senator Krebs. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1037 will move to the floor on the consent calendar. All right. Any further? What we're going to do is obviously Senator Lucas will take his bills to the his caucus. And these are pretty easy to explain, but we need to explain them in the caucuses. So, Senator Ewing, would you take 58?
Yes.
And Senator Amdahl, would you take 1037?
Yes.
All right. With that, any other anything else to come before the committee? If not, the reason that I didn't assign a couple other bills is I was still trying to determine if they needed a... I guess I call it Senate Bill 70 fiscal report. And one which I thought was going to need one does not. And so we'll be taking up some more committee bills, or some more bills in the next committee. So with that, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Amdahl.